Right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with holistic veterinarian Dr. Ann Lamprew about alternatives for treating the ailments and diseases of our animals and other topics. First, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Budos Band with a piece called King Cobra here on Talking Animals. This is the Budos Band with a piece called King Cobra, an animal tune, as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Dr. Ann Lamprew, a Tampa-based holistic veterinarian whose practice called Animal Alternatives emphasizes a host of holistic therapies, often including homeopathic remedies for treating and preventing the illnesses and ailments of the cats, dogs, and other animals who share our homes and lives. We'll find out more about these therapies and remedies and about how they might apply to the animals in your home when we speak with Dr. Lamprew in a few moments here on Talking Animals. As usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. We already have an email for Dr. Lamprew, so people are eager. Quickly, though, we're just going to do sort of a very abbreviated version of the animal news and announcements to give us more time with Dr. Lamprew. So I just want to let you know that there is a screening, an advanced screening, tomorrow night, Thursday, January 15th, of Hotel for Dogs. And that's going to be at the Starlight 20 Movie Co. Theaters. And 14 dogs will be selected to strut their stuff before the showing of the movie. And these will be adoptables from various Tampa Bay area rescue groups and shelters. So for more information about that and how you might get tickets and this screening, go to thenewbarker.com. Thenewbarker.com. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Brian Regan with a piece called Flipper on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
I watched a lot of Flipper growing up. Flipper, he was something. Always saving people. Every show he'd go save some more. I save some people! For that, they would throw him a dead fish. Hey, thanks! Thanks for saving people. He was always doing that backwards dance, three quarters out of the water. Man, that was cool. Imagine if you could do that? That'd impress some people at the public pool, you know? Just go, hey, how y'all doing? Just skip across the top of the pool without getting your bathing suit wet and hop up on the other side. Hey, what's happening? And just grab a little towel, wipe off your feet. Yeah, it's a little colder than I thought. Wow, who's that guy?
Okay, that's Brian Regan with a piece titled Flipper, taken from his CD simply entitled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, last week's show with Ringling Brothers whistleblower Tom Ryder. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. And also the link to our Talking Animals blog. There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time now to speak with today's guest, Dr. Ann Lamprew. So let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, Dr. Lamprew operates a practice here in Tampa called Animal Alternatives, which emphasizes an array of holistic therapies, often including homeopathic remedies for treating and preventing the illnesses and ailments of the cats, dogs, and other animals who share our homes and lives. We'll discuss some of those therapies and remedies, probably touch on some contrast between the ways holistic vets and conventional vets approach treating their animal clients and incorporate some specific questions you may have for Dr. Lamprey. Lots to cover here, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dr. Ann Lamprey to Talking Animals. Hello, Dr. Lamprey.
Hey, everybody out there in radio land.
Welcome, welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks for making the time to scoot over and join us in studio. I'm always so happy. It's rare that I have in-studio guests, and it's just nice to look at the person and have some eye contact, and it's very cool. So thank you for doing that. So in my experience, I mean, doctors and especially, I guess, veterinarians come to embrace holistic medicine at really differing points in their careers for a whole host of reasons. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about where you went to vet school, how long you've been practicing, and kind of how that evolution.
Okay. Initially, I wanted to be a wildlife biologist, but I got into vet school, so I accepted that. And after I went to Auburn University, which is an excellent practitioner school. Go Gators. Thanks for winning, but and thanks for beating Alabama. But beyond that, back to vet school. Auburn's an excellent institution for veterinary medicine, and but we didn't have any elective courses whatsoever. So initially, I thought I wanted to be a wildlife biologist, and then I went to zoo veterinary medicine as my passion. And then I came to Newport Richey to work in a very, very quiet practice because I was exhausted after vet school, and then I got very bored.
Really?
Very bored.
Why?
Oh, it was just, you know, we left the practice at noon, we came back at 2, we left the practice at 5, but I loved watching Star Trek at 5:05.
Okay. So it did have its perks.
It did have its perks, but then after I rested, I said, okay, I want to be a zoo veterinarian. So I came to Tampa to work with Steve Ledoux, who's an excellent practitioner and an excellent boss. And after 3 years of practicing conventional medicine, I noticed that the animals kept coming back with a similar problem after the medications ran out, or a worse problem. It shifted from a surface area problem to an internal organ problem. Hollow organs usually go first, and then a solid organ has a problem. And I noticed that progression. And I said, well, you know, I'm not really getting them any better. Hmm. We're just sort of, you know, stop gapping. It's a Band-Aid type thing I'm doing. So I looked at... well, I used to like to cook. I'm not going to say that I wanted to be a witch. Okay, I wanted to be a good witch.
Okay, cool. That sounds
so
great.
You know, cooking, good witchdom, you know, Merlin type witchdom. Okay. And so I said, okay, let me do holistic medicine. And of course, the first holistic, the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association, AHVMA.org, has a listing of all the holistic vets that you know will join that wonderful group. And guess where their first meeting was? Austin, Texas.
Oh, well, there you go.
So
now
why
you're talking
not go?
Money. Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I went to the first meeting, and it was like living in a little tiny cubicle and opening the door to the world. When I went to that meeting and realized the potentials of holistic medicine. Holistic medicine to me includes conventional medicine. It includes anything and everything. That's what holistic is to me. There are some holistic practitioners out there that call themselves holistic that are very anti-allopathic. And to me, you can't cut out surgery. You can't cut out conventional medicine as a potential for helping your patient.
So it sounds like really what you're saying is that first of all, you felt like you'd sort of landed at home when you went to this convention in Austin, and that the idea that you've sort of embraced is that there should be a widening of possible solutions and treatments,
right,
rather than saying, okay, well, now I'm this, so I can't possibly consider
this approach. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. Yeah. This is Talking Animals on WNF, and we're speaking with the holistic veterinarian, Dr. Ann Lamprey. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Dr. Lamprey a question, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Like I said, we already have one email, which we'll get to in just a moment. But so it sounds like suddenly now you were in the great world where all kinds of possibilities were presented to maybe make more progress than you thought you'd been making before you stepped in the holistic world. And so give us maybe a little tutorial on one or more holistic. We already, of course, got calls now, and we're going to get to those quickly too. So
The first thing is, you have to feed the body correctly. You have to feed the physical body correctly with good nutrition and not, you know, crappy things with poisons in them. We all have to breathe the air that's out here, and that's not as clean as it used to be, and drink the water that's not as clean as it used to be. But we also have to feed the emotional, the spiritual body as well. You have to consider all that in the potential for helping the body to be as healthy as possible. So, number one, you want to feed the body correctly, especially when it's growing. For puppies and kittens, it's important to have good food. Then you have to not put any more toxins or poisons into the system as possible. So minimal vaccinations. Split the vaccinations up if at all possible. Make sure there's no disgusting adjuvants in there like mercury. And they have to put antibiotics and antifungal things in there so they don't grow bad stuff. But you have to minimize vaccinations. Hillsborough County and the entire state of Florida allows 3-year rabies vaccines now. After the first vaccine's given, you can give a 3-year. It's not more powerful. It's not stronger. It's not worse for the system. It's just approved for 3 years. Please, everybody out there, use 3-year rabies vaccines when it's possible.
And I want to, if time permits, come back and get into that more fully, which I know it's sort of an area full of debate and controversy amongst veterinarians, but that's one of the reasons perhaps we should talk about it. But I have to say that now every phone line is lit. Uh-oh. So let's continue your answer, and then we'll take some calls, and I think we should only start with that first email.
So the feeding is important, minimizing environmental toxins, things that we are seeing dachshunds with bladder cancers and small short dogs with bladder cancers because of insecticides in the yard. We're seeing cats with hyperthyroidism because of the fuming from our rugs and from our furniture, the off fuming that's happening. Mm. We're seeing cats with kidney problems potentially because of some of the vaccines were actually grown on kidney cell cultures.
Wow.
Not from cats, but other kidney cell cultures.
Sure.
Now there's recombinant vaccinations, and there's others, and there's vaccines without adjuvants that are available. And I won't say the FD person, that company, that I won't say that, that has really bad vaccines.
Okay.
So anyway.
Okay. Well, this is good. And sort of as I predicted, Dr. Lamprou, I mean, the phones have gone nuts here. All kinds of people want to talk to you, but I think we should only fair to start with our email that came in even before the show, which reads, I have a cat I suspect has a mild case of asthma. I have been given an old carpet stored in a barn, and I think it must have had mold. The cat is doing better now that the carpet is gone. Only one hacking cough bout. What other steps can I take, or natural remedies are there for cats with asthma? My kitty's an 11-year-old neutered male with no real history of problems. That's from Ellen.
Well, of course, the most important thing is don't vaccinate anymore until you absolutely need to. If you need to board or go to groomers that say, I need information, do titers, T-I-T-E-R-S, instead of vaccination. You did the number one right thing, which was get that carpet out of there. Yes, it could have had mold. It could have had all kinds of dust particles and dust mites in it, and the cat's shock organism, or the organ that's in their body that they're going to go to have a problem initially, is their lungs. Mm. So getting rid of the carpet is the most important. Antioxidants, a good antioxidant for cats would be beneficial. There are certain different herbal remedies that you can give to cats, but you have to be really careful with cats. They can't take anything in an alcohol base, and they can't take things that dogs and people can. I can pretty much give dogs everything I can give to a person other than the 5-carbon sugar xylitol, I think it is, that's in a lot of our candies now, that people want to have candies without the bad sugars in it. But the 5-carbon sugar is toxic to cats and dogs.
Wow.
Don't let them get into chocolate with that in it.
All right. Well, let's thank you very much. And thanks, Ellen, for the email. Let's start taking at least a call or two. If you could just ask a very sort of a tight one single question, just because there's all kinds of folks that like to speak to Dr. Lamprou. But you are on Talking Animals with Dr. Lamprou right now.
Hello.
Hi. It's you. You've been holding the longest. It's your turn.
Thank you for taking my call. My shepherd is almost 5 years old, and in August suddenly developed a case of folliculitis. She's been tested for everything, and that's what the vet thinks it is. Do you have any recommendations about that?
Well, number one, you've given me a dog with a medical diagnosis. You haven't told me anything about that individual. So folliculitis, it means nothing to me. So can you describe like what the symptom is?
Certainly.
When it started?
All of a sudden in August, after I was on vacation for a week, I came home and she had been licking the ridge of her back, and had all these sores that opened up. And she's been on antibiotics on and off since then, and that's the only thing that clears it up. But I know that's not the best thing for her, and I'm suspecting it's a dietary thing.
Okay, so only the top of the back.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a little bit on the flank, but that's it.
Okay. Now, that is typically, okay, everybody's an individual, but then we go to generalities also. That's typically the place that when there's a flea bite allergy going on, that's where they're going to manifest the problem. The back, the backs of the back legs, like the top of the sacral area, the back of the back legs, the front of the back legs, which is the flank. Now, if you do not have any flea situation whatsoever going on, then we have to look at other things. Shepherds have problems with their hips. They can start manifesting irritation, inflammation in that area if they have hip or low lumbar, lumbosacral joint problems. So antibiotics do help. You haven't done any cortisone, just antibiotics?
Correct.
Okay. Look also at, but generalize just to that area. Look at, we're in a damp heat environment here in Florida, miserable damp heat. Funguses, yeast, love to grow. Just absolutely adore this damp heat environment we have. Look at the potential that maybe you need to use a anti-yeast shampoo that's also antibacterial, like chlorhexiderm is one of my favorites. Also make sure that there's not excessive amounts of carbohydrates in the diet, because that will contribute to damp heat problems.
Where do you get that shampoo, please?
Oh, that one actually is from veterinarians, but you can use tea tree oil, sometimes will help. But you have to use a shampoo like tea tree oil, but then you have to put a rinse on top. Shampoos for people are the wrong pH for animals, but even tea tree oil sometimes can irritate the skin some, so you have to cover with an oatmeal-based cream rinse also.
Okay. And a low-carb, is there any special food that you would recommend that's a low-carb?
There are so many of them out there now.
Okay.
Wellness is my favorite right now. Innova is good. Dick Van Patten's Origen, O-R-I-J-E-N, I think it is. The health food stores have dog foods now. Some of the pet food stores have low-carb or no-carbohydrate foods.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
We've
got to move on because we've got so many people who want to talk to Ann Lamprew here. Okay, hi. You are on Talking Animals with Dr. Lamprew. If you could just have a very short, focused question, that'd be great.
Is that me?
That is you. It's your turn.
Okay. I'm calling about heartworm prevention. I was curious if there's any sort of what would be the best alternative, I guess, for heartworm prevention outside of LanceGuard or something like that.
Well, that comes into a big debate on that one, because I'm a veterinarian and I have license issues to deal with and professional integrity and suing possibilities. I still do suggest that people use HeartGuard, and they use it at not less than every 6 weeks. I think that's the least toxic thing you can do. If you're worried about intestinal worms, I will sometimes shift people over to Interceptor and not the one that has program with it, which is called Sentinel. There's a new Advantage Multi-Out, which is okay. It does heartworms and intestinal worms well. And then Revolution, I don't trust for dogs. It's just another mode of doing what's in HeartGuard, which is an ivermectin. As far as herbal-type things, you can go online and get some herbal-type things, but I don't like parasites. I'm pretty Buddhist about everything but parasites. I want to kill them.
There you go. All right, thanks for your call. Okay, hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Ann Lamprew.
Is that me?
It is. It's your turn.
Okay.
Quick question, please.
We have a little kitty that we rescued. She's about 2 years old, and she's had this horrible skin problem. And we took her to the vet, and he said allergies. So we treated her with the antibiotics and prednisone and all that jazz. Anyway, she's better now, but what I'm worried about is it was a food allergy, and we've only been feeding her the wet food that we know she's not allergic to, but I want to get her on something that's better for her that she might not be allergic to. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, it depends on where the skin lesions were. Where were the skin lesions?
Typical of a flea allergy, actually.
No, don't say that.
Sorry,
tell me where.
Doctor.
Tell me where the skin lesions were and what they look like.
They were on her lower back.
Okay.
Pretty much on the middle of her back. They were actually, she had almost little nodules of hard skin.
Okay.
On her, and they were also under the underside of her legs and a little bit on her stomach. And she just started chipping away at them.
Okay, none around the neck or the head or the front legs.
Initially, she did have on her chin a skin problem, but we don't know if that was the same thing or not.
Okay. Cats have a hard time cleaning the bottom of their chin. Sometimes you just really have to go in there with a nice little baby wipe or mild soap and water and paper towel and clean that off for them. Yes, you're right. That was the area that is typical for flea bite allergy. And making sure there's no fleas. Cats are really good groomers for fleas. You don't always see the flea, dirt, and fleas when they have fleas, so you have to rule that out as a possibility. Be careful using any aromatic oils on their skin and hair coat because they'll lick it off and they'll get sick, like eucalyptus and pennyroyal and stuff. So a good food, you want to look for a food that has no corn in it. Cats are true carnivores. They are not allowed to have corn ever. You want meat as the first ingredient. You don't want carbohydrates to be more than one ingredient in there. And then you want a good carbohydrate like brown rice maybe, or sweet potatoes. So meat, you know, the closest thing you can get to what a little bird, we don't want them to eat birds, but a little bird or a little mousey, their natural prey, that's what you want their food to be like.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call. Okay, I just want to let people know, too, because there's tons of emails, tons of calls. We're simply not going to get to anywhere near all of them, but I want to let you know that the website for Dr. Lamprey's office and practice is animalalternatives.org, and the phone number at the office there is 813-265-2411, 813-265-2411. So let's take an email now. Question, I have a 10-year-old silver miniature schnauzer. The vet says that his heart rate is too low and that he may have a heart defect, as this is common in silver schnauzers. What could be some other reasons for low heart rate? Have you heard about heart defects in silver schnauzers? Can you recommend a course of action other than installing a pacemaker?
Well, I would definitely, on that one, I would consult with a cardiologist, a veterinary cardiologist. There is a good veterinary cardiologist at Florida Veterinary Services, Dr. Spears. I would get his opinion on that. Or I use a company that's out of Gainesville, IVS. They have a cardiology department, and when I get a case like that, I do an EKG through the phone lines to them and get their suggestions on that. Because it may be something that you have got to step in. If it's a congenital or hereditary defect, you may not be able to use Chinese herbs or homeopathics for that. You may actually have to step in with something conventional. For me to figure out what to do with that kind of a case, I would have to have a huge history and a holistic eval type thing and see if we could impact it or not. On using other than conventional medicine. So there's no easy answer to that one.
All right.
And I'm sorry, let me mention that I'm not the only holistic vet that I have at my practice. I have Linda Register working with me now, and she's just recently completed the acupuncture course at the Qi Institute in Redick, Florida. And she's an excellent, excellent conventional veterinarian, and she is expanding exponentially on the holistic side now.
Great. So, all right. And let's, I guess I'm curious, maybe it's my turn to ask a question.
Okay.
Because something that you, as part of your response, made me really wonder about this, and I'd wondered about it before. When someone first comes to see you, you've never seen this this patient before, how long, and to the extent you can answer this, how different would be your sort of first assessment, evaluation?
Okay. Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Okay.
because my receptionist technicians do run interference for me on that. Because I only have so much time. And thank God Linda Register is helping me now. Because I'm only one person. And I have clientele. I've been in Tampa since 1981. I have people that were with me before I was holistic. Wow. Before I turned.
Right. Your conversion.
So, anyway. Yeah. You know, I do annual exams. I do vaccines still. I do the general health care, you know, from puppyhood to in utero to, you know, until we let them go back to the great beyond. So I only do holistic evals 3 times a week on Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11 o'clock. And there's a protocol that you can pick up at my website that you have to fill out all these forms. You have to get all your records together. It helps to you to gel in your mind the progression of how things happened. And also so that when we get into the room, it won't be more than an hour and a half.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, speaking of that, we're sort of actually over our time here, but we're going to try to work in one more quick question. Hi, I don't know what sort of construction site you're calling from, but do you have a very quick question for Dr. Lamprou?
Yes.
Okay, please go ahead. Very quick.
I have a cat that actually eats corn on the cob, and she eats spinach and asparagus, and she's been she's had a terrible urinary thing with screw bite crystals. Could that be related to her eating
Absolutely. The spinach usually makes more oxalate crystals than it does struvite. But yes, she's on too much carbs that lowers the pH. That increases the pH of her urine, which makes it more basic. And struvite crystals form and fall out of solution easier than that. She needs more meat. I need to mention that they were trying to get more than a 3-year rabies approved. There is a rabies fund that's a grassroots things, rabieschallengefund.org. If you want the other side of it, it's stopanimaltests.com. I don't want to have to vaccinate my patients with rabies vaccines every 3 years. It's injurious to their system, but it's a legal responsibility. I want a 5 or 7 year rabies vaccine approved. The only way we can do it is in a grassroots situation. And yes, we are going to have to do a double-blind study, and that means some animals are going to have to succumb to rabies, because that's the only way the FDA will listen to us. So
we urge people to go to both those websites to kind of sort this out. And I'm afraid we are not only at the end of our time, but beyond. So we want to thank Dr. Lamprou for joining us today on Talking Animals. Remind you that the website for her office, animalalternatives.org. And the phone number at the office is 813-265-2411. One. Dr. Lamprou, thank you so much.
I
hope we'll get you back in again. And I mean,
sure. You
know, we have lots more folks that have lots more questions, and hopefully we'll get to that another time. So thank you for making the time to join us today.
Certainly.
I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. And our blog as well is there. That's all found at TalkingAnimals.net. If you're on Facebook, find our brand new page by searching Talking Animals Radio Show, and please become our fan. It's time to proceed to name the animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball jersey, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663. And correctly identifies this pretty relevant animal tune. It's named the animal tune on Talking Animals. All right, we just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. The program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month, which will return February 4th. That's Wednesday, February 4th. Hope you'll join me then. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal tune. This is Nellie Mackay with The Dog Song, right here on WMNF Tampa.
To walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. It's just me and my dog, catching some sun. we can't go wrong. My love is lonely and blue. Yeah, I was sad as a sailor. I was an angry one too. Then there was you appeared when I was entangled with youth and fear. And nerves jingle, jangled, vermouth and beer were getting me mangled up. But then I looked in your eyes, and I was no more a failure. You looked so wacky and wise. And I said, Lord, I'm happy 'cause I'm just a walking my